Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this Thanksgiving Eve comes from our Old Testament reading of Deuteronomy. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Thus far the text. The Israelites wandered for a lifetime. For 40 years, they had been traveling this way and that through a vast land that was not their own. They had never been able to build a house, plant a flag, never been able to call a place a home. They just wandered. Directed by God, sure, but wandered nonetheless. All those who had left Egypt were now gone, departed in the wilderness. Those that were left had nothing but wilderness. That's all they knew. Wandering to and fro, wandering and waiting for the Lord. And now the promise is finally before them. Now the culmination of everything that God had in store for them is at their fingertips. God had been true and faithful to his word every step of the way. That's not to say that it was easy, though. Life never is. It was meant to be. But now, after sin has done its sinful work, life is more of a struggle than it is a walk in the park. But perhaps that's the most comforting thing of all. The Lord never left the Israelites. He was with them always, even through the wandering, in a pillar of fire or smoke, seated on the mercy seat in the tabernacle. Later, after our text, the Lord warns the Israelites about the dangers of becoming complacent once they enter the promised land. They will have everything that their hearts desire. They will throw out all the inhabitants of the land. They will finally build houses. They'll call them a home. They'll become rich and not want for anything. All of these things, a promise from God, and yet there is a danger, a temptation that comes with all of that. But this danger, this temptation, isn't inherent in these temporal first article gifts that we call them. These are neither good nor evil in and of themselves, but the Lord does know the hearts of sinful man. He does know that when we're allowed to become fat and lazy, when every good gift is placed before us, when we don't have to worry about what tomorrow will bring because our bank accounts are full and our tables are overflowing, when we've received as a beggar all these gifts from our Lord, it is our natural inclination, our sinful flesh, to stop looking at God as the giver of all good gifts and then just start looking at the gifts themselves. And when we do this, the sinner in all of us can't help but put our trust in them. And more than that, the true, real danger rears its ugly head, and we start to believe that it's because of our righteousness that we have all of these things. Our trust is then placed in ourselves, so we make of ourselves a new God. We believe that we've earned it all. We've been worthy of it all. That we're better than everyone else who doesn't have because of all the things that we do have, because of everything that lines our pocketbooks. Now, it shouldn't be this way. God didn't intend for it to be this way, but it is. Because of our sinfulness, it is. So before the Lord leads his people into the land that he's promised to them decades before, he calls them to remember the past 40 years. They wandered. And yet they were never lost. They traveled for years upon years, and yet their feet did not swell, and somehow, miraculously, their clothes never worn out. They were sustained and nourished through all of it with manna that came down from heaven. But no one knew what this manna was. They didn't. Their forefathers didn't either. No one understood how it could sustain them, but it did. Every step of the way it did. Now we come here this evening, celebrate tomorrow a day of thanksgiving. This isn't what we call a church holiday. It isn't in the church year. It isn't prescribed for us by God to be set aside and to celebrate. But it is good to do nonetheless. I'm glad that we're all here. Giving thanks should be part of our daily, even hourly life. We should constantly take a moment to offer God a prayer of thanksgiving for all of the good and gracious things that He's bestowed on us, because we aren't worthy of them. Food and drink and house and home and spouse and child, all of these good first article gifts given to us graciously by our Heavenly Father. So gracious is He that He doesn't just supply all of these things to those who believe and trust in Him, but He sends rain upon the just and the unjust alike. He gives like a father who loves to give. And it makes no difference whether or not His children are thankful. And yet we should be thankful. For if our Lord removed His gracious hand from us, for even one instant we would be doomed. All that we have would be lost and gone forever. And in that way, our Lord even uses first article gifts to humble us, to remind us that all good things come from Him. For today we may have much, and tomorrow we might have nothing. But the Lord gives and provides for us daily bread every single day, even when we don't like the taste of it, even when we're sure that it's gone rotten, even when we think that we would rather do without it, even when we are positive that we could supply better bread for ourselves. But for the Christian, by the urging and leading of the Holy Spirit, it is through all of this, all of these trials, sufferings, all of these first article gifts that God gives and takes away, that we can see indeed that it is the Lord who supplies us with everything that we need in order to support this body and life. And more than that, if our Lord cares for the daily needs of our physical body, how much more will He supply us with everything that we need to support the spiritual one? We wander in this wilderness of ours, and we do know that we have a promised land waiting for us just beyond the grave. Our Lord is with us every single step of the way. That's the wonderful joy in all of this, to know not only that our Lord will be with us when He takes us out of this wilderness wandering and into the eternal joys of heaven, but that our Lord is with us now, even in this wilderness, even through all of our wandering of this life. And He even uses this wilderness. He uses the normal and the mundane things of life. He even uses sin, our sin, and all of its consequences to lead and to turn us forever back to Him. He humbles us. And He does all of this so that we might know that man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of His holiness. For what is daily bread without the bread of life that comes down from heaven? And what's good, clean water without the water that's sprung from the rock out in the wilderness? And what's the house that we live in or the clothes that we wear without the eternal home and the hereafter and the robe of righteousness that is Christ's very own garment soaked with bloody water of baptism? And what's a Thanksgiving meal full of turkey and stuffing and way too much pumpkin pie without the first Eucharist, the true Thanksgiving meal, the one that's offered right here tonight, given and shed for you to eat and drink? It's not to say that all the first article gifts, the earthly things, don't matter. They do. They certainly do. For your Lord loves you, provides for you so very much that He wants to give you everything that you need to support this body and life. And yet even these good gifts of God will rust, they'll all blow away like chaff. Even these temporal good gifts from God will be rendered by time, and they'll be forgotten about next year or next month, maybe even tomorrow. But the true and most important gifts of God, the gifts of eternal life and forgiveness of sins and salvation, the gifts of Jesus himself given to you right here and right now, they are the eternal ones, and they'll never be undone. We wander in this life of wilderness for however long our 40 years is going to be. But we don't wander alone. Our Lord is with us always to the very end of the age. And more than that, our Lord has given us each other. He has given us this church so that we might wander this life together, just like the Israelites. He does this so that we can gather together and receive the good gifts of our Lord, which will sustain us on our journey from this fallen life to the next one. He gives us church so that we can come together and share in each other's burdens with broad, bold shoulders, so that we can help bear all of those burdens of this fallen life. And at the same time, we're drawn together as well, so that we can share in each other's joys and happiness too. Celebrating all of the good times along with the bad ones, knowing that the Lord is using all of it to draw us back to Him so that we can rely on Him and Him alone for all things temporal and eternal. Tonight we come and gather, and we thank God for all of the temporal blessings of this life. We should. May I also be so bold to say that we should also thank God for the burdens and struggles and trials as well. For He's with us even in the wilderness, sustaining us, uplifting us through means in which He deems are good and right and salutary. And He does all of this. He uses all of this so that we might be humbled, so that we might be able to, in all things, give thanks at all times, so that we might know that He is the giver of all good gifts, that the promised land is ours even now. And none of this is because of our own righteousness. None of it's because we've earned it, but it's all a gift. And also we come together tonight, giving thanks to the Lord, most importantly for sending His Son. For it's through Him and because of His righteousness that the eternal promised land of heaven awaits us all with opened arms. We give thanks. But we give thanks in the only way that we Christians know, by receiving the good and gracious gifts of our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of Jesus.